الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وذا النون إذ ذهب مغاضبا فظن أن لن نقدر عليه فنادى في الظلمات أن لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. فاستجبنا له ونجيناه من الغم وكذلك ننجي المؤمنين. صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. میں کیسے مان لوں کہ کوئی میرا نہیں، میں کیسے مان لوں کہ کوئی میرا نہیں، جب تک خدا کی ذات ہے تنہا نہیں ہوں میں. Respected elders, brothers and friends in Islam, the verses I recited to you from Surah Anbiya 87 and 88. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the story of Yunus alayhi salatu wa salam. But before that, we need to understand that there are two types of relationships. One is the relationship between Anbiya-i Kiram and the nation, their qawm, the awamun nas. And one is the relationship between Anbiya-i Kiram and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the standard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets between him and his anbiya is a very high standard, and there is very less room for error. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when once he deals with us as awamun nas, as simple laymen, then Allah overlooks a lot of things. A lot of our mistakes and shortcomings are overlooked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His kindness and through His mercy and benevolence. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to take us to task for every small thing, then we would have not even survived on the face of this earth. So this is a kindness and rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlooks a lot of our shortcomings. With Anbiya-i Kiram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with them differently. And that is how I want to mention to you the story of Yunus alayhi salatu wa salam. That when Anbiya-i Kiram are given a task, then there is no room for error. And they have to stick to their job with sabr and rahmat and perseverance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He mentions stories in the Qur'an Kareem, these stories are for us to learn lessons from. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my Qur'an is a reminder. In huwa illa zikrun. This is nothing but a reminder. Allah says, wadhakkir bil Qur'an, and remind with the Qur'an. So Qur'an is a reminder. So the stories we hear of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Yusuf alayhi salam, Yunus alayhi salam, and you name it. They are not there for entertainment. Ye kitab kahani ki kitab nahi hai, afsana nahi hai, insan banane ki kitab hai, aur akhirat ki yaad dilane ki kitab hai. This book is nothing but a reminder. So they are reminders for us. Even in the stories that have been mentioned, stories of Anbiya-i Kiram. So Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, we all know his story, that he was given a task to give da'wat, just like how other Anbiya-i Kiram were given the task of Quru la ilaha illallah tuflihun, to invite people towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his nation was very stubborn. They denied him outright. They didn't listen to him. So naturally, a person when you speak to somebody and you remind him of something, and that person denies you outright, you will go to him once or twice, and after that he doesn't want to see you, and probably you also don't want to see him. Anbiya-i Kiram, they have to keep going to the nation. Yunus alayhi salam had to keep going to the same people, day in and day out, with one message, again and again and again. And remember, they denied over and over again. So what must be the level of his perseverance, and the level of his taqwa, and the level of his sabr, that we won't even see that person who doesn't want to see us, or turns his face away from us. We won't even meet that person, we won't even go to the gatherings, or socialize in those spots or those places where that person goes. But Anbiya-i Kiram have no choice. They have to keep at their jobs. And at times, the more you go to a certain nation, they become more aggressive to you. So psychologically also, they become negative towards you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them sabr and muhabbat. They have to deliver the message. Same way he delivered the message when he found that they don't want to listen anymore. So he got fed up and he left. And he said, you must wait for the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come now. So Allah mentions that in the Quran Kareem. And we don't want to go into the details of the story itself. But briefly, he left his nation and he went towards, you know, the ocean. And there was a ship there. And he jumps onto that ship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Is abaqa ila al-fulkil mashhoon." When he went there, he found a ship that was laden with people and with saman. So he jumps onto that, thinking that he has left his people. Now Allah's azab is coming. And we know the story. It goes on that deep inside the ocean, there was now a sea storm. And that time they used to believe that if someone has ran away from their master, then that person has to be sacrificed by thrown into the ocean. And in that way, everyone will be saved. So they thought now, who would be that person who ran away from their master? So the first person to stand up was Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. And he opted to be thrown into the ocean. And he said, I have ran away from my master. But people looked at him and they realized that this is a godly person. Ye Allah wala banda hai. Ye nahi ho sakta. He can't be this person. He's a pious person. He seems to be pious. So they said, no way. We can't throw him into the ocean. And thereafter, names were written down. They had to draw lots. And each time when they pulled out a name, it was a name of Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. Subhanallah. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he knew it. So he jumps into the ocean. And Allah had a different plan for him. We know the story goes on that a whale comes and swallows Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah instructed the whale that this banda of mine is not food for you. But this banda of mine has to just be kept in a cell inside your belly. Subhanallah, if you think about it, what a dreadful situation it is to be thrown in the ocean itself is something that is very scary. And the fact that he's thrown and then a whale comes and swallows him, you will think you are dead, you are finished. And then you are kept in that cell, in the belly of the fish, like a prison. But it's not a prison like this world, where you know you will get fresh air, where you know that there are meals going to come, and you know some sooner or later you'll get a bail and you'll come out. It's a different cell, different prison, where it is tantamount to being dead, where there is no fresh air coming in, where the food is coming there, whatever the animal is eating, the leftovers will be given to you. And even if you come out from this belly of this fish, you are still going to be left at this ruthless ocean, and you are still in the mouth of death. So total different prison. But the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was such that to keep him alive and to keep him safe. So we want to learn lessons from the story of Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, and that is the maqsad of today's topic. What can we learn from the stories of Quran al-Kareem, and especially from this story? Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ. Deep down in the ocean, in the darknesses, Allah used the word darknesses, which means there's so many darkness. One is that the depth of the ocean is darkness itself. Then inside the belly of a fish is another darkness. And in those many darknesses, he's crying out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ. He cries out in the darkness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Firstly, he didn't complain. Ya Allah, why me? Why am I being put in this situation, whereas I fulfilled my duty? What wrong did I do? I gave my message. They didn't accept. I left them. And why should I be put in this situation? Isn't the azab should come on them? They should be punished, not me. All these questions. A Nabi doesn't ask these questions. And these questions don't go in the mind of a Nabi. Subhanallah. So never complain. Even in that situation, you can say it is as if being in the mouth of death. But he says, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Remember, my dear brothers, this dua is known as Ayat al-Karima. And one thing we need to realize and understand, how did we get this ayat? How did we receive the dua of Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam? Whereas in this world, when there's someone speaking, even 100 years ago, if someone gave a speech, someone was there to write it. Someone was there maybe to record it. And to say certain president or certain king, he delivered a speech and he mentioned these points. There was no audience there deep down in the ocean. There was no one to record. There was no one to pass it on and narrate it to others. But it was a dua between a slave and his creator. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his kindness, through his mercy and benevolence upon this ummah, gives that dua to us also. Subhanallah. What a great favor of Allah it is. And from here we must realize what a great dua this is. So only Allah is the one who can narrate this dua to us. There was no other audience. So this dua is beautiful. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Let us analyze briefly this dua that he makes. He starts off by saying La ilaha illa anta, which means he's reciting kalima. When do we say to a person, "Bhai, you need to recite your kalima again"? When a person has uttered some words of kufr, or when he has done something which is tantamount to kufr. And here, Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, did he commit any type of shirk or kufr that he had to read the kalima again? Just a slight misjudgment. But he himself realizes that I need to start from somewhere, from right at the bottom. From the roots now. La ilaha illa anta. I must start from the kalima. And by this he is reaffirming his commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, I slipped up somewhere. And I will reaffirm my commitment to you. La ilaha illa anta. Because every Nabi was sent to deliver this kalima. So he starts with La ilaha illa anta. Subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Dua sikhane wale Rabbe Zul Jalal. Dua padhane wale aur padhne wala bandai Rabbe Zul Jalal. Dua kabool karne wala Rabbe Zul Jalal. Musibat se nikalne wale Rabbe Zul Jalal. Ayat Karima Ummat Muhammadiya ko hadiya dene wale Rabbe Zul Jalal. So this ayat was given to Yunus alayhi salam, inspiration from Allah, taught him you must read this dua in this situation. Then Allah himself makes qabool of it takes him out of that musibat, then Allah himself gives us, as Ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this beautiful dua in the form of Quran Kareem via our Habib sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And as I recited the couplet in the beginning, where the poet says, Main kaise maan loon ke koi mera nahi, Main kaise maan loon ke koi mera nahi, Jab tak khuda ki zaat hai tanha nahi hoon main. That how can I accept that I am alone? How can I accept that there is no one there for me? As long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's zaat exists, I can never be alone. I can never be alone. Har waqt nigaahon mein, khayalon mein wahi hai. Maine kabhi apne ko akela nahi samjha. All the time in my thoughts and all the time in my sight, Allah is there. I vision Him and I see Him all the time. I have never ever thought that I am alone at any time in my life. So coming back to the story of Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, he makes this dua. And he says, Subhanak, la ilaha illa anta subhanak. O Allah, glory be to you. What is the word subhanallah that you and I recite? Subhanallah, subhanakallahumma. What is the meaning of it? It means attributing all shortcomings to one's own self and attributing all perfection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the meaning of subhanallah. He is saying to Allah, O Allah, you are perfection. You are the maker of perfection. You are the embodiment of perfection. You are perfect in all ways. And even in this situation that you have put me, that I am as if outwardly in a musibat, I can't blame you for it because you are perfect. If there is a shortcoming, it is because of me and that shortcoming is inside me. I landed here because of some mistake that I have made. And what mistake did he make? A small error of judgment. This is a lesson for us, and as I said, we're speaking about the lessons. The lesson here is that we need to acknowledge that we are, you know, insan made from khata and nisyan. We are sinful people. We must count our sins and acknowledge. And sometimes we know our sins and sometimes we don't know our sins because such a long list. We don't know on which error and which mistake of ours Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking us to task. So here, the dua that Yunus alayhi salam is making, he is acknowledging, yes, O Allah, I am from the wrongdoers. La ilaha illa anta, subhanak, O Allah, you are free from shortcomings. No shortcomings attached to you. Even in this situation, all shortcomings belong to me and attached to me. And he says, Inni kuntu min az-zalimin. I am from the zalimin. He didn't say, I am zalim. He is trying to say, showing as if he is always from the zalimin. He has been always doing wrong. So a lesson for us again, when we plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beg for His mercy, we must acknowledge and we must accept that we have done a lot of sin in our lives. We don't try to make dua in such a way that I am Mr. So-and-so, Haji so-and-so, and you know, I've just done a few wrongs here and there, Allah forgive me, I am Jannati already. We have to acknowledge and accept that there are countless sins in my life. From this dua we learn, he is not saying I am a zalim, he says I am from the zalimin. So i'tiraf jurm bahut ahem hai. To accept and acknowledge your shortcoming is very, very important in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. We answered his dua. Subhanallah. Dua was taught by Allah, and then he made this dua, and Allah says, I answered his dua. Teaching us how to make dua. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. We accepted his dua. We answered his call, and he was taken out of the belly of the fish. And he was given a new life. He had to go back to his nation. The story goes on. But Allah says, فَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمْ. And we removed that gham from him. All difficulties attached to sadness is gham. So all types of musibat, we will remove it. So Allah says, we will remove all types of difficulties from this ummah also, if you make the same dua. So Allah says, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ, we answered his call. فَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمْ, we took him out of that gham, that situation, that musibat. وَكَذَٰلِكَ نُنْجِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and this is how we will give najat and salvation to the mu'mineen, to the believers to come right to the day of Qiyamah. So by, when we've got musibats and problems and situations, we like to ask others to make dua for us. Yes, that's a good habit. But my brothers, there's a dua right here which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us via the Qur'an al-Kareem, that read this in difficulties, in adversities, in problems, and see how the madad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. We need to try it. We need to recite this as much as we can. وَكَذَٰلِكَ نُنْجِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and this is how we are going to give salvation to believers, as long as they stick to this dua. رَبَّ ذُلْ جَلَالِ سے جو دعا نہیں مانگتا, Allah اسے ناراض ہوتا ہے. Allah becomes angry with a person who doesn't make dua from him. Lessons for us, as we were mentioning earlier on, that like how Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam was placed in that situation, a musibat outwardly and a place of darkness. There could be darknesses that come in our life also. Hamari zindagi mein bhi ye zulumat aa sakte hain. We can also face difficulties and darknesses in our life in different forms. But we need to ask ourselves all the time that how did I land in this situation? Let us look inside ourselves before we blame others, before we look around and try to find faults in others. How did I land in this situation? It is my own mistake, surely. I may know them or I may not know them. But I've landed in this situation because of my own wrongdoings. We have to start acknowledging that. Then we have to learn to make tasbih. That is glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, Ya Allah, I am attributing all shortcomings to myself. I am not attributing any shortcomings to you, Ya Allah. You are perfect. And you are free from all shortcomings. Aapki zaat paakizgi wali zaat hai. That is the meaning of subhanallah. And furthermore, in this very same Surah Anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we saved Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ, if he did not turn to tasbih, if he didn't make this tasbih, and he did not repent and go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَلَبِسَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ, then he would have remained in the belly of the fish right till the day of Qiyamah. Some scholars say right till his death. So some people, when they are in hardships, what do people tell them? They say, you deserve it. A person is going through a rough time financially. You say, no, you deserve it. Why? Because you are a gunagar person. A person is going through a divorce. They say, you deserve it because you are a gunagar person. A woman had a miscarriage. We'll say, because of your tongue. You don't control your tongue. You had a miscarriage. Azab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We become judgmental very quickly. And we judge people. And you write them off very quickly. Whereas you and I, we don't have the right to do so. Only that person who's going through that situation can plead before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Ya Allah, I've done so much wrong in my life. I am the evil person and I've landed in this situation because of my own wrongdoings. Oh Allah, you forgive me. That person must do that. But we cannot point fingers and say, you landed here because of certain sin that you are involved in. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once you turn to Him, He will wash you and clean you and make you into a new person once again. Just like how Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam was given salvation, and Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam was given a new beginning, where he was given the task again to go back to his nation. A new beginning was given to him. And a person who turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and makes tawbah and asks for maafi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wash away all their sins and give them a new beginning. And lastly, my dear brothers, one more point from the story of Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam is that deep down in the ocean, in that situation where he was in the belly of the fish, outwardly seemed like a musibat, but hakikatan, he was the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that point. So we must realize, Sometimes the person, outwardly, he looks like he's in a very dark spot, a very difficult situation. Meanwhile, that person may be, at that time, very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we don't be judgmental and we don't judge people and write them off. We make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ease all our difficulties and parishanis that we are going through. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherever they are facing difficulties. Let us read this, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minaz zalimeen, on a daily basis. And make it part of our azkar. And at the same time, on this Mubarak day of Jummah, let us make dua for the people that are suffering in different parts of the world, especially now when the earthquake took place in North Africa, Morocco, Libya, etc. Those that have passed away, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them maghfirat, grant them jannatul firdaus, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the difficulties that they are suffering there right now. We should make dua for them and help in that direction whichever way we can. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me the tawfiq and give us all the tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.